Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
The salad before the steak, a four-game appetizer up in Toronto before the three-game main event with the Astros down in Houston. And honestly, you take three out of four against the Blue Jays, that's about what you expected, am I right? No J.D. Martinez in the lineup again, a starting pitcher you wouldn't recognize if you ran him over with your car. But in the end, a nice, tidy 8-2 win as the Sox get to 27-23, exactly 50 games along. So here now, a review of the win, a look ahead to Houston, and a snappy little theme song, too.
It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
One of the quicker, bleary-eyed turnarounds of the year. A mere 13 hours after the 13-inning win on the night before, it was right back at it for the Red Sox against the Blue Jays. With Don Orsillo stopping by before the game. Yeah, the San Diego Padres in town to start a weekend series with Toronto. Maybe hang with Drake. So the Dontourage seeing at least part of the 8-2 victory. I'm going to recap it super quick for you. Got a lot I want to tell you about the Astros, so let's kind of buzz right through. And we'll even hear from Eduardo Nunez on this one. But Ryan Weber was the guy. 75 pitches to get through five innings, just one run allowed. Nice little depth piece for Boston. And Josh Smith could be as well. And maybe out of the bullpen, a Henry Mejia or someone like that down the line. This guy's nearly 29 years old, Mr. Weber. It looks like he's 12, but he's almost 29. He had one major league win into Thursday for his career. He pitched very well. And the Sox now 16-6 in their last 22. So after that 2-8 start, 25-15. Sox in the midst of a stretch of 33 games in 33 days. So this is a good time to get your stride down, and they've got it down. Although, got to point this out, the Red Sox have now played 36 of their 50 games against teams that have losing records. That's the second most in the majors behind only the Indians. Boston's a very modest 21-15 in those games. So instead of carbo-loading against the losers, when you crystallize it, you know, the gap between the Sox and most of the teams ahead of them in the hunt here, it really comes from the failure to handle those lesser opponents. The Astros, for example, are 16-2 against sub-500 teams. They played 18, they've won 16. Yankees are 23-9, Rays are 18-8. So just kind of putting that out there and also putting out there for you that once Dustin Pedroia comes back, things are going to get a little sticky, tricky, roster-wise for the Red Sox. Boston clearly committed to Pedroia. They're going to have to adjust the roster. Chavis is not going anywhere. We know that. So who's gone? Is it Nunez or Pierce? Right around the time of year that Hanley Ramirez got the Ziggy a year ago. Both players have had pretty terrible seasons so far. Coming into the Thursday game, Pierce hitting 141, OPS of 408. Nunez hitting 173, OPS of 432. Of course, Pierce will always be a World Series MVP in our hearts. Nunez, a very versatile player. So just putting that into the blender and spitting out the fact that in this game, they both did pretty well. Pierce, 3-for-5, homered, had three runs batted in. Nunez, 2-for-5, and drove in a run. He talked to the guys after the game.
Many heroes today as the Red Sox win it 8-2, and with us is Eduardo Nunez, who had a couple of hits and scored the first run, drove in another. Eddie, true team effort here today. A lot of guys playing who haven't been playing the last few days, and it really worked.
You know, yeah. You know, that's a team effort. Everyone put in good at-bat today, and we had a good approach, and just keep it simple.
You know, Eduardo, one of the things that I think fans really have trouble realizing is how difficult it can be, especially a four-hour, 30-minute game last night. You go 13 innings, and then you have to come right back to the ballpark. It must have seemed like you guys never went to the hotel last night. You just stayed at the park.
Yeah, it was a very long game.
But how is that? How tough is that?
You know, that's tough. That's tough. You know, everything is about the mentally, how strong you are, how prepared you can be the next day. We have to turn the page. We know sometimes going to be tough, trouble, long game, no sleep that much. That's going to be hard to be in the big league for a long time. It's scary.
Well, that's part of it. How about Ryan Weber today? He looked like he put every pitch where he wanted to put it.
You know, where he pitched well. He commanded the pitch well. He gave off the opportunity to drive wrong and put the thing in good situation.
You know, Clayton Richard today didn't seem to have his good command, Eduardo, with the breaking ball. You got that base hit to get things started here in the third inning today, and the walk got you to second base. Talk about that inning, and it had to be good to get on top early in this game because, you know, when you come out in a chance to win 3 out of 4, you want to try and score first in that fourth game and get rolling.
For sure, for sure. We know he's a good pitcher. He was with San Diego a couple of years. We know that he's going to be the first star for this year. We know we're going to have to be patient. Let him pitch, see the pitch, how he's coming, and that's what we did. And for sure, we want to score, we want to score first. We want to go to the series 3-1 and go to Houston.
Oh, Eddie, love the play you made there, diving, and you it was like a pinball shot. Did you purposely tap it over to Bogarts, who was standing there?
Yeah. I think that worked perfect for us and for the pitcher, too. That was good assisting.
Good system. I'd like to see you do it again.
Thank you very much. Have a good day, guys.
All right, thank you.
Nice to hear from Nunez. Nice to note that everybody had a hit, all 9 players. Jackie Bradley Jr. had 2 of them. What a nice series for Jackie. Goes from a 142 batting average to a 168 batting average in just 4 days' time. It was 15 hits overall for the Red Sox. And again, you had Weber winning it, going 6 innings, 3 hits. And his ERA as a Red Sox now is 1.29. Travis Lakin's got in the game, and it was a scoreless inning for him. Brazier pitched a scoreless inning. Velasquez gave up a home run to Justin Smoke at the end, but whatever. Final score of 8-2. A lot of good things happening again. Mookie Betts, we should point out, continues to heat up. This was just a one-hit game for him, but he's now at a .290 batting average. Same for Bogarts. Chavis at .280. Devers at .317, and he's been the guy. This is the third baseman who didn't have a home run at all in his first 32 games. He's now had 6 since May the 3rd. He's also got 6 steals this year, which surprisingly is number 1 on the team. He had 5 all of last year. So a lot of positives coming out of Toronto on a Thursday. Alex Cora talking to the media right after.
I mean, amazing. He did a good job changing speeds, moving the ball around the strike zone, changing eye level. He can pitch. Him and Christian, they were on the same page today. You know, they maneuvered that lineup. They did an outstanding job. And it's different. You know, like I said before the game, you know, it's not that vertical attack. Fastballs up, breaking balls down. You know, it's more about pitching east-west and changing speeds, kind of like a little bit of old school. So, you know, we're very pleased with the way he went about it. And, you know, it was a great all-around game.
The warning you got there from Stu Shearwater in the fourth inning, what was the explanation given?
It just hit by pitch, you know, whatever, no big deal.
Steve Pierce, had you seen this coming a little bit in the last few games?
Yeah, he's in a good place. He was fighting his swing for a while, and he was actually fighting with himself in the batter's box. You know, it seems like he's more relaxed. He got some at-bats in this, and that's how it works, you know. Like, JD can't play, and all of a sudden you find at-bats for him, and he's starting to find a rhythm. We were joking before we got here. Maybe he was going to find it here in Toronto. Obviously, his swing, you know, he's very familiar with this. But I don't think it's that. I think it's, you know, his work. He's been putting a lot of work with Timmy and Andy, and it seems like he's in a good place. So, obviously, tomorrow with the lefty, we'll give it a shot and keep rolling.
Alex, how much does what Weber did today affect the next 3 or 4 days? You know, just that you were able to not go into your bullpen too deep?
Yeah, what Rick and him did, the 12 innings in 2 days, you know, it's very important. You know, you saw we were going to Hector up 4 regardless, you know, trying to stay away, you know, hopefully from Barnsley. If we needed him, yeah, We were going to bring him in, but it was a grind. But for him to do what he did, Leggins come in and do his job, Brazier looks like he's in the right track. And Hector, yeah, and the home run, whatever. But, you know, he gave us those three outs. It was huge for us. You know, we know where we're going. You know, it's a good offensive club. It's a stadium that is inducive to a lot of runs. But we got our guys lined up, and it should be fun this weekend.
Over the course of the season, how important are games like this when you kind of have to piece it together a little bit?
Yeah, I think last year we had one with Hector here, kind of like the same thing. Me and Brad, we were talking about it. Seems like whenever we come here, the schedule is kind of like off for us. But I remember Hector grinding through five or six, and then we put it together, and it was big for us. And then we're going to have days like that, you know. And we knew coming into the game that we needed Weber to go deep into the game and score some runs. It didn't look pretty for a while there, but then at the end, you know, we were able to add on, and those are the games that set you up for the rest of the week. You know, we talk about no chasing wins, but sometimes you can't burn the bullpen every time you have a three-run lead or four-run lead, and they did an outstanding job today avoiding that.
Talk about that, the add-on runs, the nice base running by Xander to score on that.
Yeah, Xander, Benny, Nooney too. We ran the base as well today. Nooney on the contact play. Actually, he read it perfectly. Benny stealing third base, and then Xander, you know, having the presence of mind, you know, he misses it. Momentum is taking you the other way, and he kept going. You know, that's huge for us. That's very important. So, you know, we keep doing those things, and we're going to be in a good place.
All right, there you have it. There's Alex Cora as he prepares and everybody else prepares for the big showdown in Houston. The Astros are 33-17, already an 8-game lead in the AL West. And by the way, if you remember Seattle's 13-2 start, yeah, that was cute. They're 10-27 since then. Houston does not have the best record in the American League. That's actually Minnesota. Yeah, the Twins are at 32-16. Houston 33-17, but a lot of intrigue in this series, of course. Let's start with Bregman, drafted by the Red Sox out of high school. They didn't sign him. You can go right to George Springer, Connecticut raised member of Red Sox Nation, who actually used a Mookie Betts model bat for a few games, a whole axe handle bat thing, and that's when his career took off. I'm a little bit more intrigued by Bregman in this particular series, because I don't even know if Springer's fully healthy. He's missed three games in a row with that bad back. But Bregman, more walks and strikeouts. He's at 15 home runs. Of course, they've got Verlander pitching in this series. He just struck out 12, flirted with his third career no-hitter. I'll tell you more in just a moment about him. But you've got Springer, Brantley, Reddick all hitting 313 or better. Correa's just under 300, has 11 home runs, 13 doubles. So who is the MVP of the Astros? I don't know if we can really answer that question here. I mean, Mike Trout might be the MVP anyway, but if you got to pick an Astro, what are you doing here? Because according to FanGraphs, if you look at that fielding independent war, which I know so many of you do, Houston accounts for five of the top 15 players after Trout in the entire American League. Springer's number two, Bregman's number four, Brantley is 7, Garrett Cole is 13, thankfully he will not pitch in this series, and Correa right after that. So you can argue that this version of the Astros looks even better than the one that won the whole World Series in 2017. And imagine what this offense can do when they get Altuve back, when we get into the summer and pitching staffs are getting beaten down by fatigue and injuries. And have you seen the AL West this year? You can definitely score runs against those pitching staffs. The last team to score 900 runs in a season was the 09 Yankees. They got up to 915. It's an average of 5.6 a game. Astros right now are at 5.59 runs a game. Defensively, very good team too. Houston shifts more than any other team, and maybe that would have kind of obscured Bregman's true value at third base. But he still makes plays all the time. He's tied with Matt Chapman of Oakland for the defensive run saved stat. And we've talked about what he's doing offensively. Let's talk about Houston's relief pitching because we kind of have to. A lot of bullpens out there are out to strong starts. The Yankees, the Rays, the Indians, Cardinals are very good in the National League. But here's Roberto Osuna, 0.42 ERA. And Ryan Pressly has a 0.0. Has not given up a regular season run since last August. Will Harris has looked terrific. You got Chris Devensky on this team, Josh James and Framber Valdez. But if you just go with Osuna and Pressly, it's 42 innings of 16 hit baseball, one run, two walks, 41 strikeouts. And they've got Will Harris with a 1 ERA and Hector Rondon with a 2. So as for the pitching matchups, now the actual starting pitching matchups, here's what we're looking at. Friday's game is going to be Sale, 1-5, 4.31, which I know doesn't sound like much, but hang on, against Wade Miley, 4-2, 3.51. And yeah, that's right, Wade Miley has better numbers than Chris Sale, although let's unpack that a bit. Sale's numbers of late, four starts in May, 51 strikeouts, six walks. Opponents batting average 143. His first four starts this year, Chris Sale had strikeout totals of 4, 1, 3, and 6. And you'll remember the panic in the streets. Last four starts, those strikeout totals, 10, 14, 17, and 10 again. So the streets are very calm. Correa did have a 448-foot home run off of Sale in the Fenway Series. It's the longest home run that Sale's ever allowed as a Red Sox. And he did walk five in that game, most as a Red Sox as well. One win somehow in the last 14 starts for Chris Sale, but I like him matched up against Miley in that opener. Saturday, I like this for the Red Sox too. It's David Price, 2-2, 3.29 against Brad Peacock, who's actually got five wins and two losses, slightly higher ERA, about 3.6. And it's almost Memorial Day. Sale and Price combined to have three wins. And of all these hurt, and yet the Sox are above 500. That is kind of amazing. Sunday is where it gets really interesting. It's Eduardo Rodriguez, 4-3, 5.43 against Verlander. Problem for Rodriguez this year has been what the lefties have done against him. They're 15 out of 42, 357 batting average, five home runs. Last year, lefties hit 234 against Eddie, had three home runs for the entire year. So now to Verlander. And it's a tough place to end, but think about this. Justin Verlander passed through waivers unclaimed in August of 17. If the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Yankees, some other big market team could do it over again, hard to imagine that Verlander would pass through waivers. In five September starts in 2017, you might remember, had the ERA of 1, then went on in the postseason, had the 37 innings ERA of 2, had a monster 2018. So here in 19, the monster's awake again. 8-1 record, 2.24. His last three starts, 22 innings. How about four hits, two runs, 29 strikeouts? Oh, and his pitch count for all three games, exactly 101 every time. So we have answered the question as to whether or not a cyborg can someday marry Kate Upton. The answer is yes. And this, to me, is the most fascinating of the three-game series. The Verlander against Rodriguez. We'll be all over it. No podcasts over the weekend because even God takes part of the weekend off. Sox Daily resumes Sunday night, and we will know by then if the Red Sox are really making their move or not. Two of the hotter teams in all of baseball. The two you figured would be there at the end. A late May showdown starting with Sale Friday night, and that's a great first step forward, if nothing else. So there you have it. Spent a lot of time on a preview, not so much on the review, but hope you enjoyed the podcast in its entirety. We will have much more for you this entire summer. If you haven't done the whole subscription model yet to this podcast, very easy. You just hit where it says subscribe, and then bang, all these things get right into your podcast inbox. And a quick reminder, if you haven't done this yet, if you're enjoying the podcast, please go ahead and give us a rating, hopefully all five stars. That would be fantastic. I think we're perfect on five-star ratings so far. And if you want to leave a little review, that doesn't suck either. Don't be profane. If you don't like the podcast, do me a solid and don't write something horrible because that just makes me cry. But if you have something nice to say, I'd love to hear it. And you can always get me on Twitter, by the way, too, since we're all still getting to know each other. I'm at Josh Lewin Stuff. That's all one word smashed together. Josh Lewin Stuff. Lewin is L-E-W-I-N. Chavis is C-H-A-V-I-S. And I really wish I was a Chavis. I think we all wish we were a Chavis right about now. That's okay. I'm not hating on being a Lewin. That's fine. And very happy to have you along for this podcast ride. Talk to you Sunday night. Be well. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.